former NHLer, Stanley Cup winner, very popular podcaster, radio host Mike Commodore joins us. Commie, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Radio host. That's a new one for me, but I guess I am. Part-time radio host.
Part-timer. Hey, it's nothing wrong. You're expanding. You're expanding what you do. So that's good. Do you still get brain freezes, Mike, or have you figured out how not to get one when you have a slush or a real fruit smoothie?
You know what? I haven't had a Slurpee or anything like that in a while, but I always get them. I'll get up like a booster juice once in a while, and I'll be starving when I'm in there. I'll just hammer the thing or try to. And then our brain just total freeze, doesn't feel good, and you need a couple minutes to shake it off.
It's brutal. I don't know if there's anything in hockey that would feel that pain. Probably just getting rocked, maybe. But you have never hid behind the fact that you were not the biggest supporter of Mike Babcock. You weren't one of those people that waited till he got fired to say, "Oh yeah, see, he's a jerk." You were always like, "You know what? I didn't like it," and it was never really about the systems he coached. It was just about how he interacted as a person. So I'm going to guess that you weren't overly surprised when the story came out after he's let go about Mitch Marner. Had you ever experienced something like that similar in Detroit?
With me, no. Like, that was all, no. I mean, I hate Mike Babcock. Yeah, it's definitely been well documented, and I've been fighting a lonely battle for 4 years on Twitter, but it's all, this last week has made it all worth it for me. No, like, with me, it was more, like, I wasn't around him all that much, right? Like, I mean, the one time in Anaheim, whatever, he buried. That happens all the time. I didn't like how he treated me on my way out, but that's fine. Whatever. You know, my big problem was the lies to get me into Detroit, and then just the treatment, like, beat it. Like, I was looked down on and punted to the curb. And so I didn't like that. And I thought I did the right thing in July by calling him, asking him, being like, "Hey, man, do you want me on the team or not? If you don't, like, it's no big deal." Blah, blah, blah. And I told this story a million times. And anyways, he lied to me to get me in there, and that was the end of my career. So, no, I don't have any experience with, like, what happened to Mitch Marner. But from what I've been hearing from other guys, that was definitely not the first time or only time. He's been doing that kind of stuff forever. And I don't even, for the life of me, I mean, I read what happened, and I read his, like, BS explanation saying, like, "Well, I was trying to get work ethic through to Mitch, and it wasn't a good idea. I apologized." The whole thing about that statement is BS. That was nothing more than him being a bully, flexing his muscle. "Oh, you're a highly touted young guy? Well, I'm the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm making $6 million a year. You're going to do this," and then embarrass the guy and make him look, quite frankly, terrible in front of his teammates. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't imagine going through that my rookie year when I was in New Jersey and having to sit and rank Scott Stevens, Scott Niedermeyer, Ken Danico, Brian Rafalski, all these guys, rank them top to bottom, and then him have to go in front of the team and list that off. It's nothing more than trying to embarrass Mitch. But more than that, it's a bully power move, which is completely him, his MO, has been forever. So I wasn't surprised at all. And hopefully more of this stuff comes out, to be honest.
Mike, you know, there's stories now with Bill Peters out today. Some, you know, comments he made, not liking the type of music, and then, of course, used the N-word many times to Hakeem Olu. And he has some teammates confirming that story. And then you have former Carolina Hurricane player Mikael Jordan, you know, stating that Peters kicked him while he was on the bench. And, you know, some other teammates saying, yeah, that actually happened. So my question is, the hockey culture of not speaking up, like, you spoke up afterwards, right? And, sure. And why do you think that will change, or is that something that players are always, while they're in it, it's really hard to stand up and say something?
Yeah, I think while you're in it, I really can't see it. I mean, maybe it'll change, but I can't see it changing. Like, yes, like, I spoke up 4 years ago once I was done. When I was in Detroit and I thought I was being mistreated, why didn't I say anything? Well, basically, I'm sitting there, and what am I going to say, and who am I going to say it to? If I go to the media and say it, well, I'm gone immediately. And it's like, well, I'd still like to play, and if somehow I come out with this, and Mike Babcock wasn't meeting with me. He had no time for, and I wasn't even there as far as he was concerned. So I didn't feel like I had any options, and I still wanted to continue my career. And in my mind, I'm like, well, if I sit here and I start blasting coaches, my head coach or a head coach, I'm like, there's nobody that's going to sign me. Nobody wants that. So that's why I didn't. And then once I got done, you know, I'm like, well, look, there's nobody in the NHL that employs me anymore. I don't owe anybody in the NHL anything. I can say whatever I want, and there's going to be zero repercussions. Nobody's going to fire me. It doesn't affect my life. So you know what? This guy mistreated me as far as I'm concerned. I didn't like how I was treated at all. I thought it was piss poor. And so I took to Twitter. I'm like, you know what? And I'm speaking my experiences when I'm on Twitter, but by no means am I on my own. There's a lot of guys, and you know, I don't want to sit there and name. I mean, you know, the couple interviews that I've done, I'm like, if guys want to speak up and talk, they can do it on their own. That's not my place to take words out of somebody else's mouth. But yeah, I don't see how it changes. While you're in it, like, right, you're trying to extend your career, you're trying to stick around. I mean, the only guys that could maybe do something would be your high-end guys in the team, where it's like, you know, if you're, to use an Edmonton example, it's Connor McDavid. But, you know, like, the Connor McDavids of the world probably aren't getting mistreated because the head coach, the bully head coach, realizes that that guy probably can get him canned, so that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I can't really see it changing.
Yeah,
at least off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Mike Commodore joins us, and it is so. There are stories now today about how some Carolina players went to the management about the Bill Peters situation and nothing changed. And so I always look at that and say, and to me, that's where if somebody who has maybe more power, if we want to use that term, you know, you can enable those coaches to be bullies, right? Because there's a lot of good coaches that don't have to be bullies to get their point across to players,
100%.
Right? And I think that's, you know, and I don't want to think that all coaches are bad, because I think there's a lot of great coaches and probably more better coaches than there are the bad ones. And I just wonder, like, it's almost like there's not an outlet, right? Like, if had you, like, I don't know, if you go talk to Ken Holland at the time, like, would his door have been open?
So I'm glad you actually said that. I actually did go talk to Ken. That was the one person, probably once I realized, and it didn't take me long to realize that I'm like, I knew this was going to happen in my gut. This guy wanted to have me in because I ripped him in the papers for what happened in Anaheim, and I didn't even really rip him, but I gave it to him a little bit. I'm like, he only wants to get me in here to end my career. And so it's scratch, 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 calling guys up for the minors to scratch me, all kinds of different things going on. And I'm like, I knew it. I'm like, this is the end of the road. I'm done. I just got bought out. I'm like, no, this is maybe get one more chance. This was the chance that I chose because I didn't know if anything else was going to come. And so I had talked to Ken before I signed. Before I signed, I talked to Ken and I talked to Babs, signed. And then so this is going on during the year. So I went and I met with Ken, and I like Ken. Ken is a great guy. I saw Ken. I was down there for the Oilers home opener. I really like Ken. I have a ton of respect for Ken. By no means is this Ken's fault at all. And I went and met with Ken, and I'm like, Ken, I'm like, man, I told you this was going to happen. I'm like, I have no chance of playing. And you could tell he was uncomfortable because at the end of the day, it's not his decision on who goes on the ice. He puts the play like, okay, I'm going to get the players. It's the head coach's job to figure out, you know, the line combination and who plays and who doesn't. And he's like, you know, and Ken just flat out, he goes, Mike, look, he goes, I don't know what to do. He's like, I can't, you know, I'm not going to fire him. I'm like, Ken, I'm on a one-year deal here. I've played maybe one game for Detroit. I don't even know if I've played a game yet. I'm like, that's not why I'm in here. I realize you can't do that. And Ken's like, look, he's like, as long as we make the playoffs and we get to the second round, as long as we make the playoffs, the season is considered a success. He goes, after that, it's a crapshoot, kind of roll the dice, whatever. Because as long as we keep making the playoffs, you know, I'm not going to make any changes. And I'm like, Ken, like, I totally understand that. So he was open. Like, you can go talk to the general manager, I would guess, in most places.
Okay.
But that is an option. But at the end of the time, I don't know how much that's going to – once again, it all depends on the players, right, and the GM a little bit. But the player, like, I mean, me going in there isn't going to change anything. I'm not an integral part of the Detroit Red Wings. Somebody else, Nick Lidstrom going in there, then things might change a little bit, or you'll maybe listen. Well, things will change. But, you know, and I want to be like, you know, I know I'm coming off, or, you know, I read a little bit on, when I go on these kind of little bit of a rant or whatever, I kind of avoid social media for a couple of days and let it simmer down, but I've read a few things. And, like, I want to be very, 95% of my coaches that I ever had over the course of my career, I really liked. And some of them were hard on me, and I I love Daryl Sutter. Daryl Sutter was all over. He'd be very hard on me, but I like that. The difference was Daryl Sutter wasn't crossing lines. Daryl Sutter wasn't disrespectful and a bully. He was just hard on you, and I enjoyed that. I had no problems with that. So there was a couple coaches. I mean, Babcock's obviously one. Scott O'Neill, for a completely different reason, was another one. But the rest of my coaches, I enjoyed. So, like, by no means do I think that this is, like, a trend in NHL coaching by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think there's something to Mike Babcock's little tree of coaching. I think, to be honest, I think it's a disgrace. And that was one of the reasons why I went on Twitter 4 years ago, is I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know what? I'm like, this guy is a scumbag. He's a terrible human being. He treats people poorly. Like, I mean, not just players. I'm talking front office, ushers, parking attendants. He is a bully through and through. And now I got to sit here and watch this guy on TV every day with his BS interviews. He's putting out books on leadership. I'm like, are you kidding me? So that was kind of the thing that set me off. I'm like, this guy is the biggest fraud in the game. And I'm like, I'm going to say something. I don't have to answer to anybody. So I'm going to say something, and I don't care what people think.
What has been the response from players? I'm gonna guess most of them have appreciated, because most of them don't have the courage to say what you've said.
No joke. 100% on board and appreciated. There's been some times over the last 3-4 years where I'm like, okay, you know, because I come across to a lot of people. You know, for most of the people that read it don't know me, so like I come across as like, oh, you were a pylon, you're just bitter, your career's over, you suck. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get the pylon thing. Sure, yeah, I was a bit of a pylon, but I'm like, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. And there's been a couple of times where I'm like, yeah, you know what, I've kind of had it with this. I think I'm going to gas it. And I'll say that to, like, you know, one of the guys I used to play with, or they're like, no, man, keep on it. But it's not just that. I have people, you know, in the summers I'll go play charity tournaments around. I've had charity golf tournaments and charity hockey tournaments. Anywhere where I get out, I'll have people come up to me that have been in an event. Like, these people, like, run charities or volunteers at charities. They'll come up to me and be like, hey, you know, I heard you on Spittin' Chiclets or whatever saying, you know, you're a little bit tired of it, you might stop it. And they'll tell me a little story, how they ran into Mike Babcock at a charity event, and they were horrified how he was treating people. And they're like, hey, please keep it up. We love it. And then when I hear that, I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I'm doing a good service here. So then I'd be back on the keyboard.
My God. I do love how, you know, you go on a rant and then you're like, you know what? I'll just wait, because, you know, you can go crazy listening to the responses for it. And then it's the best advice I ever got with someone is don't take criticism from someone you would never ask for advice from. And yeah. Ever since then, I'm like, you know what? That's actually very good. So I'll keep that in mind. And I think it is hard, because usually when someone speaks out originally, I get, oh yeah, he's just bitter, rather than think, well, maybe there's something to it. And now you're seeing a few more other stories, and suddenly everyone's like, oh geez, maybe Commodore is onto something.
Yeah, I will say the narrative, I scroll, it's been a couple days since I went on that kind of little, oh well, what are you, I think he got fired on, well, November 20th, it was a Wednesday, I'll never forget that day. But you know, I just kind of let it go for a couple of days, and then I've looked through a few. I mean, the responses, there's been a bunch. And I will say, like, especially since this Marner thing came out, the narrative has changed. There's been you still get a few people that are like, you're a plug, you're a loser, and that's fine. Whatever, I could care less. But there has been a fair amount of people, and I've only read a few, but of, you know, I'm assuming Leaf fans, but they're like, hey, you know, I just wanted to tweet you and say I'm sorry. I sent a bunch of tweets ripping on you over the years. Now that some of these things are coming to light, I think you are on to something. I just want to apologize. So a couple of them, I'd send them a direct message. I'm just like, hey, man, don't worry about it. There's no need to apologize. I'm happy I could maybe help open the door a little bit. Have a good day. And so the narrative has changed a little bit, and the response has changed, which, I will be honest, is a little bit validating for me, I will say.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. Mike Commodore joins us. You mentioned kind of the Babcock tree. Did you find other coaches, if they were under a tree, were they a lot of similar ones? Like Daryl Sutter, you mentioned. Did guys who work with him, did coaches kind of take on the persona of other guys like that?
You know, I can't think of yes, I'm sure. The only one I can think of right now would be the Babcock tree. Like, and why it I think because of that coaching tree. Like, if you look at, you know, the only two examples I can think of, because I don't know anybody else that was under it, but, and I don't want to, I think Jeff Blashill's a good guy, and I don't think he's involved with any of this kind of stuff that's been going on here with Babcock, and then a completely different thing with Bill Peters. I don't want to lump Blashill in it, but for this portion, I will. Like, if you see, like, Babcock leaves to Toronto, and it's like, and they played clips here on the radio in Calgary, not this year, but, like, last year, where basically all three of those guys sound exactly the same. Like, they take on basically the same voice. They say the exact same things, same voice. Like, you can barely tell the difference listening to them. So I think it would be fair to say, like, yeah, they're going to, I mean, they're going to take, I'm assuming they're taking more than just Babcock's voice and his sayings. I'm assuming they're taking a lot more than just that and moving on to the next job, which makes me sick to my stomach because Mike Babcock's a terrible human being. And for a long time, up until maybe a few months ago, maybe even just last Wednesday, up until then, you know, oh, he was under Mike Babcock. He must be a great coach. Let's hire him, which to me is, and we're finding out now, I mean, to me, it is a joke. It is, to be honest, it's disturbing, and I hope it stops. Because, like I said, and I want to be clear too, you know, the Babcock thing and the Bill Peters thing that's going on right now, you know, I'm not laying that at Mike Babcock's feet. I mean, I'd love to, but I'm not going to because I don't know. But I would definitely say there has to be some more similarities other than just voice.
Mike Commodore joins us. Mike, one last. Do you think another organization would hire Babcock, or do you think they're going to wait and see how Toronto does? And if they suddenly flourish without him, do you think a team might take a step back and say, hey, maybe he is part of the problem?
Yeah, I might be the biggest Toronto Leafs fan on the planet right now, just on a side note. Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of it is going to – yeah, I think, you know, if the Leafs take off and really do well, I think that doesn't look too good on Babcock. I think you can tell. I haven't had a chance to watch the two games that they've played, but I've seen some interviews. And you can almost just, listening to the guys that have been on there, you can almost just sense like a relief. And then, for, you know, a couple little clips from reporters, like everybody's smiling a lot more. Like the black cloud is gone. The bully is no longer in the room. So obviously I think those guys are having fun coming to the rink again. As far as him getting high, I think if the Leafs do real well, yeah, okay, that would be like, well, I guess it was Babcock because the players are the same. So obviously something was up. But I think a lot of it will have to do if stories like this Mitch Marner thing, and if there's more guys that kind of come out, and I hope there are and I hope they do. It's completely up to them. It's their story to tell. But if more of this stuff comes out and it gets kind of worse and people are like, wow, that's what this guy does, then I think that will really hurt him. But I wouldn't put it past an owner or GM or something to get sucked into the, oh, well, look at his track record. He's got 700 wins, blah, blah, blah. Let's hire him. So I don't know. I'd throw it at – I think it would definitely – it's going to cause some – if he goes in for a job interview, I think there's definitely going to be some questions asked. But he's no dummy. He'll just put on a face and he'll say the right things to whatever that gets him the job, and then it'll be back to same old. A guy like that isn't changing. It's as simple as that.
One last one for you, Mike. Of course, you mentioned part-time radio host in Calgary. What do you make of the Bill Peters situation and the Flames, what they're going to do?
Yeah. We were talking about that this morning, and obviously throughout the day, more stuff has come out. I read the tweet from Akeem, and I don't know him at all. I don't think I ever played against him. I don't know him at all. I don't know him. I just read his tweet. And then there was the confirmation from two other people and some other stuff going on. I mean, to be honest, I think it's disgusting what he said. I've never heard anything like that in any locker room I've ever been in from either a player, coach, trainer, or anybody. To be honest, I think it's horrifying. And in my opinion, I don't know, but this is just me guessing, Bill Peters is done. He is going to be fired. I think the only reason he hasn't been fired, and like I said, this is just my opinion, I'm just guessing. I think the only reason why he wasn't fired first thing in the morning today was that the Flames are probably looking to cross every T and dot every I and be as thorough as possible, because then they might be looking to terminate his contract. That's my guess. I don't know. But I don't think there's any chance that Bill Peters is coaching the Calgary Flames tomorrow against Buffalo. And I think the chances that you ever see Bill Peters behind a bench in North America again are slim to none. And I would say none.
Mike, always appreciate your candor, man. It's great. Continued success on the radio, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.